At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
You guys really liked the intro before I brought in the guest. I liked it too, so I'll do a little intro. Here's the deal with me. I went upstate to my new house. It was sick. Hung out there with my mommies, and I got a little overwhelmed because I didn't have enough time up there, and I kind of had like a little bit of a I was like, everybody, because my niece was pulling at me and my sister wanted my attention, my mom wanted my attention. I was like, you got, and my mom is kind of on this kick right now where she's like, we have to open a Roth IRA and we have to do all these things. And I'm like, okay, but also I have 5 minutes to spend with you, so just sit down and be calm. And she's like, you need a Vanguard. So there was that, but it was really, really nice. And I'm very excited about the house. Right now I'm working on running this story at the Comedy Cellar and I just keep bombing over and over, so that's difficult, but it's getting there slowly and it feels like I'm doing carpentry again, which is kind of cool. Like, it feels like I've laid the foundation and I'm putting up actual bricks, and each set I do it gets a little bit better, which is nice to see because it's rare that I actually like chisel something so rough into something. Usually a bit is like I've pretty much worked it through in my head, and by the time it gets on stage it's all right, whereas this one, hard bomb to now it's mediocre, and I'm excited to run it again. I feel okay. I've been having the like panicky side of things where I'm like on the verge of feeling weird, and then I kind of realized that I haven't been listening to music at all. So I started listening to music again, and that really helped. Thank you. And I've been feeling better about that. And I've been like in a little bit of an insecurity loop, which I talked about last week, that I'm kind of pulling myself out of via talking to my friends. So long walks, long conversations on the phone with friends that are going through shit and kind of being a support for them has helped me be more emotionally sound. So I'm feeling pretty good about that. That was like a big realization I had today, where I kind of felt like myself for the first time, and I realized it was because I was like, you know, talking to my friends about their shit and not wrapped up in my own shit. So that's where I'm at. And today on the podcast, I'm very excited for you guys to meet. Her name is Alex. Do you pronounce it cumin or cumin?
Cumin, like the spice.
Cumin?
Yeah.
Cumin.
Cumin.
I've always said cumin.
A lot of people.
I'll say it right now.
Okay, say it again.
Cumin.
There it is.
I know Alex. She's at the Comedy Cellar. We went on a boxing retreat together.
We did.
And I've been wanting to get her on forever, and I'm really excited for you guys to meet her. And I'll say what happened was we were like peripheral friends.
Yeah.
And then suddenly on the boxing retreat, you unlocked the darkest humor I've ever heard. And I was like stunned and in shock and in love all at the same time. And I was like, she's like that? And you were like, oh, yeah. I'm like that. And I was like, okay, let's do
let's
this.
Let's go.
It was so...
What was it? I mean, it's out there.
You said, so you were like, I had HPV when I was... What age?
Five.
Yeah. And I went like this. I was like, wait, that means you. And you were like, yeah, you didn't, pussy. You didn't have...
You didn't get raped
at 5 years old?
You bitch. Loser.
Who doesn't have HPV? And I was like, oh, this is a whole new world.
I feel like I saw it in your eyes. You were like, whoa.
Yeah.
It's fucked up.
I'm such a sick fucker.
It's so fucked.
It's hard because I know you to be like a boundary setter. with yourself. Like you're very, like your phone is always on do not disturb.
Yeah.
I've noticed.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you're very like.
New. That's new.
It's good.
It's good. I like it.
It's great.
I
Ari Shaffir does that too.
It's such a good, like, otherwise it's just, it's just buzzing all day. And it's like, I don't, I'm trying to just like, cause I want to talk about the insecurity thing you're having. I could talk all fucking day about this, but I'm having like, I can't focus. And I'm like, the phone constantly buzzing is just like, it makes me feel like I just am attached to it. And then I'm on social media and I'm like, look at how much better everyone is. And like,
I don't even like, I wish that I was doing at least a comparison thing.
Oh,
I'm just doing blind dog video, cat video, little kid singing us. Like, it's fully retarded.
I would murder someone to do that. I am just constantly just like, I had one yesterday. I'm in like a, what's your thing? You said you talked about it last week, but what's your like, what are you going, what's happening?
Well, I think last week I was talking about, I was going into PMS.
Mm.
So I was like, everybody's against me. Everybody hates me. But the thing I'm having now is like, you know what it is? I'll just say what it is because this is what this podcast is about. You ever like, as you're going to say things, your brain is like, what are you saying? And you're like, don't interrupt me. And then you're like, now I'm being so conscious about everything. So then I'll be on stage and I'll be like, what are you about to say, bitch? And I'll be like, I don't know. And it's dissociative.
Oh, like the double talk happens on stage?
It's where you're so just like, awful.
It's coming out of your mouth and you're like, this isn't it.
Yeah.
You don't have them.
Yes. Totally. Yeah. Where it's like you get in the pocket sometimes where you're like, me, them, we're all one. Let's fucking ride.
Let's
and
do
then you
it.
Have ones where you're like, who the fuck are you being up here? And you're like, what? I'm allowed to be. And it's like, you're fucking. That's
do you
I
feel, have. I literally, on my podcast yesterday, had a whole conversation about feeling like I've plateaued. Like I'm like, do you ever, like I feel like I'm regressing. Like I'm getting worse at comedy, which is, that's insane. I mean, obviously that's not true, but like, you're just like, why do I feel like I can't do
comedy's
this right now?
Comedy's set up to make you feel that way though.
Yeah.
Because you enter the world and people go, oh my God, you have so much to say about your childhood and your ideas on thing and da 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 da. And then you're like, I'm so done talking about my like family and my upbringing and stuff. So then you're like, now I'll start talking about things that are going on. And then it's like, well, I'm not fucking JP McDade or comics who are like super topical and stuff.
Dude.
So, yeah.
I feel like I had this like crisis recently that I'm still working through where I'm like, I feel like all the systems that got me to where I am right now have stopped working. Like every.
I think that is because you found self-love a little bit.
Yeah.
Do you ever find that?
Oh, yeah.
Where sometimes I'm like, this is all hinging on that I hate everybody. And now I don't hate everybody.
Yes. Or that I hate myself.
Yeah.
And by virtue. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fully. And then I'm like, oh, okay, time to rebuild this little castle.
Yeah.
And that's what's where I'm like, I don't have the energy to rebuild a castle right now.
But I
now.
Think that's where big things happen. Because I think that's when you go from being like, the comedy goes from being like, I suck, men suck, people hate me, I hate me, to like, isn't it hilarious how Squirtles pat the ground after they bury a nut, which is my favorite
like,
humor.
Exactly. You know what I mean? Yeah. No, it's like, it's fully just like, and I know, like, I know that like I talk very a lot of my humor is like women which like of course I am one that's been a lot of my experience.
Same.
But it's been such a thing of like self-consciousness for my whole career of being like am I the feminist comedian that everyone rolls their eyes when I get on and having the and then being like okay then write a new joke and then I sit down to write and I'm like
being a woman's hard.
It's hard having tits.
Like, I know. I just saw a video online that was like, Jordan Jensen's been red-pilled by feminism. And I was like, man,
like,
the whole
what?
Idea that women talk about being women is like, being a woman, you are bombarded constantly by the fact that you're a woman. Like when you're a man, the more masculine I think, like the more that I like forget my gender, the more I'm able to just notice the things around me.
Yeah.
But when I'm being bombarded by PMS, by trying to feel okay about having kids or not having kids, finding love, finding all these things that like a woman has to fucking hunker down, then that takes over. And I'm like, it would be amazing to just sit in the park and like think about how funny it is that old man.
But I can't sift through the nightmare of the other thing too is like someone said this to me, I forget who it was, but like this idea that like I'm only speaking to half the audience when I tell jokes about being a woman, and it's like
false.
It's just so fundamentally disagree with that. Nobody has ever said that about, you can't say that about like men going on stage. It's like, we're only speaking to half the audience. It's like, no.
Half the audience are men who have mothers and sisters and have dealt
and
with
also,
women.
Do you know how many times I've laughed at a joke about balls?
Oh my God, yeah.
They're so funny. Or like, everybody can laugh about.
Yeah, Shane Gillis talked about Ken Burns on SNL and it was funny. Like, I have no idea who that is. It's like a Civil War guy. Yeah, and it was funny. Like, it's like, how many people is he talking to? One?
One, yeah.
You know, like one guy who's like,
yeah.
But it was so funny.
So good.
And it's like, yeah, you don't have to be, you're talking about your
life.
Experience.
My experience that just happens to be in this body. And it's like, that's where I'm like, that's where I am right now with like, oh, you not like I'm never gonna write a joke about being a woman again, but I'm like, just like broaden it, like try and figure out a new system because like you've gotten to this point, but like you're not. It's just something.
What Louis
said
changed my life is he goes. I was having one of those things where I was like, I'm a dirty comic. I'm like, there are people out here who are being so intellectual, and like I view myself as like an intelligent person, but I still am talking about farts.
Yes.
And he was like, stop. And I was like, why? And he was like, you absolutely have no, you can't choose what type of comic you are. And it like lifted this weight because I was like, it is true, dude. When my mom farts, I'm laughing harder than I've ever laughed. Like, my farts are so funny.
They're so funny. They're the funniest sound. I shit my pants 2 weeks ago, and it's the only thing I want to talk about.
It's funny.
So funny to me.
And sex is funny. It's all like hilarious. And it's the thing that is, it's the thing that makes me laugh the hardest. Like, I will laugh at things. I'll laugh at like Sebastian Maniscalco talking about going to dinner. I think that's hilarious.
Yes.
But like the thing that makes me like double over dying is like trying to hide my discharge from the waxing lady. You know what I mean? Like, it's just
Yeah.
It's so animalistic that it's really funny.
It's so funny. And I think, I don't know, I at least tell myself like, oh, you're only appealing to like the people who think like that. And then it's like, I don't know, I think about like music, right? I think about like, I like classical music and I like rock and I like, I'm not like, oh, like just because I like this one doesn't mean I can't like any other style of music. And it's like having to remind myself like, people like different things. That's anytime I have to follow like someone who's clean at the cellar, and I'm like, oh, if they like, they're not gonna like me. And it's like, snap out of it.
Yeah, it's. Do you know Otessa Moshfegh?
No.
She's an author who wrote like really fucked up and gnarly books. Like, she just has like a sick brain, and she's unbelievable. I'm obsessed with her.
Oh, I want to read. Yeah, Tessa. What is it?
Otessa Moshfegh.
Moshfegh. Okay.
She wrote a book about a woman who just takes drugs to have an entire year of sleep, and just a whole book about that, which is incredible.
Yeah.
And she was in an interview and she was like, they asked her something like, what is art? What is your art for? And she was like, for fucking nothing. It's for, that's the whole point. It's for nobody and nothing.
Yeah. Lighten up.
Yeah.
Lighten up.
Totally. Like, it's because I have to do it.
Yeah.
I have to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I have to talk about the things. So I might as well be getting paid for it.
Fully.
Yeah.
Fully.
But it is the woman's thing. Because you know every time you walk on stage, people are going, it's a
woman. We've talked about this. You can feel it. The energy just, like, it's sometimes
it's like when you stay on stage that you're in a relationship. Have you ever done that? Where you go, I'm dating somebody, and you feel everybody go, ew.
I just feel it. Because I haven't been in a relationship in a while, but I feel it just the most. Literally walking on stage, and
because your name's Alex, you have the same thing as I do.
Yeah,
where they go, oh, a boy,
oh, a boy, or this next comedian, you're gonna love her, and just everyone goes, and you're just like, fuck, can I not? And then you spend the first 5 minutes, 2 minutes, whatever, climbing out of the hole. And having to be like, I'm trying to get to the point of like, just because my whole thing up until now has been like, punchy right away, get him immediately, first 20 seconds, get that laugh out, which is, you know, for a 15 minute set, you want that. But like, I'm also like, can you just trust that I can handle this?
But if you think about, sometimes I'm like, I might be like projecting it because like, For instance, if I see like Casey Shornima go on stage, I don't think they're being like, ugh, it's a woman. Like, I think it's a self-fulfilling thing.
That's my other like big, yeah. These all these systems that are like crumbling right now is I'm like, am I making it up? Because here's the thing. Sometimes I'm not.
Sometimes we're not.
Sometimes we're not.
Absolutely not.
Sometimes we're not.
Sometimes it's just because we're not famous.
Yeah.
Sometimes you get up there and they're like, if it was Amy Schumer,
yeah,
they would lighten up, but they're just like waiting for a famous person. Yes. And we might feel that drop.
Yes. Yes. But it is for sure. I can definitely feel the drop sometimes.
Yeah.
I notice it too. The cuter I look. Like if I'm like really like.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I think Casey, the way that she's very dressed down and not, yeah. You know.
Yeah.
And the way she's a hideous beast. No, I'm just kidding. I love Casey.
It's so gross
no,
to
but
look
the
at.
Way, the more masculine, I think, the more I
yeah.
am listening, which yeah. is interesting.
Yeah. Fully. Well, for, yeah, that's how I feel.
I don't know though. Nikki Glaser gets on stage looking that hot. You're kind of like, what?
I know. Her legs are insane.
I know. It's fucked up. It's fucked up.
No, that's why I've been like, as I'm watching more comedy now too, I'm like, well, you're all of these truths that you're telling yourself are actually not they're not true.
Yeah, if anything, it's like when a cutie patootie guy gets up there, like when Tommy Brennan goes up, I have yeah. to be like, he's really good, Jordan, because he's so cute,
he's
and young
adorable.
And adorable, that I have to be like, Tommy rules.
Yeah.
And then
yeah,
I yeah. listen, right? But
yeah.
it's like I have to, you know what, and sometimes when a woman goes on stage, I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
So I do think it's, I think it's very much.
It's, yeah. it's, oh, and that is a tough pill to swallow too, to be like, have you been the one getting in your own way?
I'm the most misogynistic
motherfucker.
Person that's ever.
Like, yeah.
It's so fucked up.
Well,
it's
like
crazy.
Well, it's like, again, it's that bombardment of like lifelong bombardment of all of that shit. There's
yeah.
a reason that we feel this. It's just been
yeah.
hammered into our brains.
And it's also you do learn all of these tricks throughout being a comedian for this many years that you're like, when I drop my voice, things go better.
Yes.
When I dress masculine, things go better.
Yes.
And no signs really point to like, if we were like crazy, sexy, showy legs, that would be like the opposite. But
right.
on the spectrum, you can't really lean.
No, you
regular.
Can't be. Yeah. I remember the first time I tested this out. I was still living in Chicago. I was at the Laugh Factory and I had this shirt on that was like you can like pull down
yeah.
and shoulders, and I had two back-to-back shows and I was like, just do the exact same set with one of them up and then one of them down, and the down, there's the audience was just
wow,
just checked out, and I was like, and of course so many different factors could be in there, so many
when
I could
wear
have,
like,
but
a,
like
a cutesy thing I yeah. act different,
yeah, well because then I go on stage going, like it's this
yeah.
snake eating its own tail thing. It's like I go up being like, am I going up less confident because I know that they're not gonna listen to me because I look this certain way,
yeah,
and then I give it less oomph. So now I'm like, okay, I've figured out like what my go-to outfits are for like
same it, for me it's just like if I go too crazy in the cool dude direction sometimes, then if I don't do well I'm like, oh, it's because you were like, I can't wear that expensive things. Like, I need to almost be like as dressed down as possible, just
yeah.
because I have to be like, I want you to know zero and start at zero.
Yeah.
I don't want you to start at any barometer.
Let me ask you this: when you're on the road doing your own shows, does that change because the audience like at the Cellar,
yes.
the audience
yeah.
isn't necessarily there for you; they're there
on
for
my own
the showcase.
Shows. I can do. On my own shows, it becomes more about how do I do an hour without sweating. It becomes way more just like,
yeah.
how am I going to get
how
through this?
How do I not
without,
like pit through this?
And
yeah.
and these are the things that are going to get clipped up. So how do I avoid hating myself later? But
yeah,
it's,
yeah, yeah.
But at the Cellar, it is like, it's also like the more, like sometimes I've dressed too far down where I'll wear like paint clothes and then that doesn't really work because
yeah.
I find myself being like, I'm not even this anymore and I'm
yeah.
trying to trick you.
Yeah.
But I think that, yeah, the anytime I've been feminine, it's gone bad. There's a couple times I've gone feminine, which has pushed me into almost like mushroom Jordan, where I'm on stage being like a weird little creature, which does
like,
work.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Which like takes me out of the like I'm hostile and more into the like don't look at me.
Yeah,
which
yeah,
I do
yeah.
like.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is like it's I mean, it happens every night. I'll show up. I'll be like, okay, my hair will be like a one way, and I'll go up and I'll be like, oh my God, I had a half ponytail, which was so feminine. That's why I did bad. And I'll take it down and it'll be normal again. Even though I like the way that it looks like a half.
Of course.
But as soon as it's down, I'm like, fuck you. Fuck. But if it's up, I'm like, no.
Yeah.
And it changes everything. So it all depends on.
I'm also finding it's so interesting, like the evolution of style throughout, like just how it changed, because I dressed so different even when I first started.
Yeah.
But even like when I was doing I've been doing this pants shitting joke that I think is also fun, where it's like, oh, I can dress a little cuter if I'm going to be talking about shitting my pants.
Oh.
Like, it's like totally. This like balancing scale of like.
Very good point.
You know?
Yeah.
Like you walk on stage and they're like, ugh, how'd like you who is pants? It? I was getting a colonoscopy, but this was before the prep, so I can't blame it on the colonoscopy.
Yeah.
I just was like, you
this
know, and you like
before the prep.
It was before.
Don't even say the colonoscopy thing. Who are you trying to fool?
Myself.
That's crazy.
I kept being like, it's because of that.
Were
it's
you
not.
Doing like a cleanse or something?
No. Well, so pre-colonoscopy, you have to do 3 days of a low fiber diet. Which is like no raw fruits, vegetables, seeds, nuts, like anything with fiber in it. So that it was like day one of that.
Okay.
So I had like one day, which is like you can have like white rice, white pasta, and like butter. So I had like a ton of like white pasta and butter, which I don't usually have. So I think that might have been it. But I was like,
that sounds like a gluten intolerance. If pasta made you shit your pants,
so much.
You shouldn't shit your pants on a no on a fiber. No,
I know. That's why I was like.
You might be gluten intolerant.
I won't hear that.
Okay.
I won't hear that.
Okay.
I couldn't possibly be. It was. When's the last time you shit your pants?
I don't shit my pants.
That's such a lie.
I don't. I really.
I don't do it quarterly, but like.
Skid mark every month.
Without fail.
Yeah.
That's
skid mark
a given.
All the time.
Thong.
Anytime.
Anytime
you wear
thongs?
I wear, no, absolutely not, because of the skid mark. I can't.
Oh,
I'm not
going
to sign up for a skid mark daily.
I have so much
I don't know
so
how anybody wears thongs.
Oh, it's the only way. You don't like, don't you have lines?
I just
lines?
Posted a clip today about how how I was telling Ian that the next girl he dates needs to not wear thongs.
What pants are you wearing right now?
Just jeans. I don't mind if there's a
you line. Don't mind the line? Oh, I hate the line. It's uncomfortable for me.
Oh.
It gets all like bunched. Do you have a big butt?
No butt. Zero.
Oh, I got a butt.
Zero butt.
Yeah.
Yeah. If it was, I probably would wear a thong. If
yeah.
I had a butt.
Yeah.
But how does it not get skin mark every time? You have to wipe so much.
So hard till it bleeds.
I would do that every time, but still, you don't know.
I know. No, it's bad.
You throw a lot of underwear away.
I throw it a lot
okay,
of underwear.
Okay. That makes me feel better. Yeah. Because I'm like, yeah. If I wear super tight pants and full coverage underwear, it's going to get in. It's white. It's going to get a skin mark.
Yeah.
It's where
well,
my
white
poop
underwear.
Goes. That's
where the white underwear.
I know.
What are you doing?
Not white, but you know,
yeah.
Any color but black.
Yeah, yeah,
which
yeah,
it's
yeah.
All black, but sometimes you
yeah,
don't know.
Sometimes.
And you get
does
the
your
one.
Black underwear get does the discharge
create
like chlorine effect?
It mine
does
doesn't.
It do that?
My friend does. So that means you have
so
high acidic content.
pH. Okay.
Which means you never get yeast infections, right?
Rarely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you have like a high acid.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'll
which
take it.
Is so weird that it bleaches underwear.
It bleaches underwear.
It's bizarre.
It's so
sometimes
wild.
I get that.
See, this is what I'm talking about. It's like, how can we not talk about this?
Yeah, their cum doesn't bleach. I mean, and they do talk about
and
it.
And they do
talk
about it.
About it. I mean, you have to talk about it. And it's also like, we are just a giant vagina. I mean, they are a penis. So all they talk about is like sex and women and all, you know, their relationship to their dads. And it's like, I'm a giant vagina, which means I'm talking about discharge and disgusting body stuff.
Yes.
That's what the vagina is. It's more the gross
smells.
Than the dick.
Yeah.
It's more gross.
Way more gross.
Yeah.
Way more gross.
It should be. It creates a child.
It's so wet.
It's just wet all the time.
All the time.
It's just the
it's just the opposite
cold.
Of what... You know, it's just a constant environment that's just welcoming
an
disease and just yeah.
It's horrifying.
It's disgusting.
I
love
I didn't
it.
Have it.
Cut hers off.
Okay, so how'd you shit your pants?
Oh, so I was on my
but I don't shit my pants.
Have you ever?
In like preschool.
This was the first time it was like bad. Like it was
wow.
Like so bad. I like was on my way out to the gym. I had yoga pants on too, which is like was wild. And I like farted, and then I, you know, immediately that something went wrong.
Yeah.
Like I just was like, the sound and
the stream
sensation, like it felt like it was like I don't know, it was like a almost like a flap, like something that I was like, that was not air. Like that was like, there's weight. There was something in there.
Yeah. Segura was like, I sharted. And I was like, did you shart? And he's like, yeah, I was like peeing and I farted and there was like, and I was like, was there air? And he's like, no, there wasn't air. And I was like, then you shit your pants. You didn't shart.
This wasn't a shart.
Yeah.
This was like full on, like, yeah. And then I went and checked and it was like, I was so blown away by like the quantity.
Really?
Yeah. Because I was like, what? I started talking to myself. I was like, hey, what happened here? It's like, hey, bud, not mad. Just want to get to the bottom of this. Hey,
what'd
we eat? I was talking to myself and I was having such a bad day too.
Yeah.
And then I just laughed. I was laughing so hard while talking to myself. Yeah, because it was like this, it was like the universe being like, hey, lighten up.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
totally. What,
like, oh, you're here, shit your pants.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. You want to deal with some shit?
Here's some shit. Here's some literal shit.
Yeah.
And it just, like, it like went yoga, but you know, they're tight. I was like, how did this move? It like was like everywhere. It just was like everywhere. Yeah. And then I had to, and then you're just sitting.
Did you go home immediately?
I was home, thank God. I was about to leave.
Oh, good.
I was walking out of the door. And then just like, it took a while to like clean up. Like it was just everywhere. And then you know when it's like, it gets on your hand.
Yeah. Did you just get in the shower?
I should have.
Yeah.
I didn't.
Yeah, I kind of get why you didn't, though.
I was going to the gym. I was like, I'll do it later. But then the pants were like, there was like so much shit in the pants, too, that I was like, do I put this in the sink? Like the sink where I like brush my teeth?
Yeah.
Like, is this? So I ran it under the shower and then just like did laundry later. Like, but it was.
I think the move is trash immediately.
It should have been trash immediately, but they were really good yoga pants.
Really?
Yeah. Like the expensive ones.
Like Lululemon?
Yeah. So I like ran it under the water a bunch, hot, scalding water.
Okay.
And then did like a hot wash.
Do you have laundry in your building?
Yeah.
That's better.
Yeah. Yeah. If I had to, I wouldn't bring that human. I wouldn't. Yeah.
I think I would have gone straight trash, ordered them immediately.
Yeah. My life was upset with me that I didn't throw them away.
Yeah, I think I would do trash. I think I would throw my whole body in the trash. I would be like, we're just going to go outside.
We're going to start fresh.
I would have gone in the shower, taken them off, plastic bag, put them in the plastic bag, tied it up,
thrown that
outside trash.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I would have.
No, what you said is what I should have done. I should have done that.
Yeah.
But I.
You're going to be a great mother. Like, I'm worried if I have a kid and they poop, I'll be like, no.
Do you want kids?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Really?
Yeah. I froze my eggs in December.
Oh, good. Was it awful?
It sucked. I hated it.
I just don't want to go through that. I watched Caitlin go through it and it was awful.
It's just the most, it's so crazy. Like the injections every night, I had like a full breakdown the first time I had to do it. And then you get used to it. But it's the hormonal fluctuations and then like, the days before, I remember walking to the appointment and I was like, are these going to fall out of me?
What?
Like, you're just so bloated with, because what it does is it rather than just growing one egg, do you know the, like?
No.
Yeah. It was fascinating to learn about the whole
system. I'm very curious.
So, you know, you have your menstrual cycle and they time it. You have to start the injections and they're hormone injections that like, essentially are like, what your body would be doing naturally, but just puts kind of like accelerator on some and then brakes on the other, right? So it's every month you one egg goes, and if it's not, you know, goes down the
fallopian
tube, and then if it's not inseminated, that's your period. This makes it so that it grows as many. I had 16 that they took out and 12 were viable. So it grows a bunch of them at once. And then it like kind of puts the hormone that you inject, one of the hormones that you inject, like puts them in a holding pattern so they don't release. And then 36 hours before the procedure where they like go in and suck them out, you take a trigger shot, which is then what releases them from your ovaries into your ute.
What's a trigger shot?
It's a massive fucking shot. It's the last shot you take, and it's just like a, so also, so you like
trigger shot. I don't like that.
I know. It's so you do, they explain it, it's like a little smiley face around, under your belly button, and you take they're really tiny needles. They're really tiny needles. And yeah. You can like, you can put like an ice pack on yourself to like numb the skin beforehand.
Yeah.
They just, it just kind of burns a little. It's like by the second day, you're like, second, third day, you're like, okay, I can figure this out. But it's just like, especially doing it alone, you're just like, okay, what are we doing? Like,
and then they took, and then they go in and take the eggs out.
Yeah, they put you under. So you go under like
but
twilight.
But you don't have a period for how long?
You get, for like that month, you don't have it. And then it takes like a couple months to like re-regulate.
Wow.
It's a so now fascinating. So now they just, their words, not mine. They were like, you know, in Jurassic Park, like the cryo, like that's kind of what the eggs sit in.
Wow.
And they just like keep them in a storage.
But then whose sperm do they add?
If I find a person. So that's the other thing is like, if I decide I want kids, I can still try naturally. Like my mom had me and my brothers at 37, 39, and 41.
Okay. Whoa.
Yeah.
37, 39, 41. Did she do in vitro?
No. But wow. She did. She's a cool lady. She started the in vitro program at the Brigham Hospital in Boston.
Whoa.
She was a nurse. Yeah. Is a nurse. But yeah.
Does that mean you could have had them late? Because she did?
Yeah, I mean, like, I think, yes. I also think that's why they took so many out, or they got so many out.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because you're fertile, mortal.
Because I'm a fertile gal.
So that's, did they check you first? Were they like, oh, you have, you're
super
good?
So they do a transvaginal ultrasound. So they literally just shove a wand up your puss.
And count them.
Yeah. It's like the technology, and then you're sitting in the chair, and there's a TV in front of you. So you can see, they're just like moving the thing around, and you can see your like ovaries, and you can see like the eggs that they find. And then you can see the eggs, because after the first week, you go in like every day or every other day to get blood work and an ultrasound. And then you can see them like growing in size. It's wild.
And you decided to do that in December because you were like, was that post breakup? And you were like, I should just do this.
Yeah. It was like about a year. Breakup was October 2023. And then the whole year after, I was like, did I not want kids? Or did I not, like,
oh,
I like, it was just on my mind. And Caitlin actually was talking about her first round of doing it. And I remember like having, we were sitting at the cellar. I remember having like a, like my, the pit of my stomach just like dropped. And I was like, wait, I have to do this if I like, because I'm 37, right?
So wow, it's she like, did it. And I was like, I have to never do this.
It's, well, it was just the panic of like, because who was I talking to? One of the managers there was like, I wish I had done it. And I, that was a panic.
Wow.
That was like a, oh my God. So I was like, I can't, the thought of like wishing I had the option and not having the option.
I don't think I have that. I think I have the like, if it doesn't happen, it wasn't supposed to happen thing.
And I think I still am like, I don't know, but every now and then I'll see, if I see a little girl with brown curly hair, that's when I'm like,
wow.
But no other kid, like, I don't look at kids and I'm like, I need one. Like, I have friends that are like, I need a kid. I'm so ready.
I have friends like that.
Yeah, and I'm like, that's never been me. I assumed I would growing up because that's, again, just bombarded. But like,
for me, it's when I see my friends hooked up to like milk pumps and they're breastfeeding. That's when I'm like, I want to have my body, I want to give my body what it wants, which is to fucking feed a life, because it's torture.
That makes you want to do it?
Yeah, because that's our whole life is like your tits, you're getting bigger and smaller with the month, and then you get the period, and then you get the PMS, and it's like then I see my friend sitting there with a baby and she's like fucked up because she has had this kid and her vagina's hanging out and she's like, I ripped.
Fully
and she's
blown.
Like, I'm the happiest I've ever been. And I'm like, shit, man, is that the fucking, is that little fucker?
Yeah.
The like, my mom calls it a first calf heifer, which is like
first calf
where heifer. You're the cows, because she's working on a dairy farm, the cows, the female cows are freaking out all the time. They rah, 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 and then they have a kid and they're like, oh.
It's chill. And well, it blows everything else out of the water.
My sister is now, I was just with her at upstate and I was like, my sister's like the most neurotic. She's been like the most neurotic, controlling person my whole life. And we were at the house and I was like, Mom, blah, blah, blah. And I was like going like this. And her kid is like, you know, running yeah. amok. And I was like, Jamie, when did you become
the calm, chill one?
And she was like, blah, blah. And I was like, and my mom was like, it's first calf heifer. It's like, you're freaking out and then you have a kid and you're like, oh, this.
This is the thing that matters. None of this.
Yeah.
I'll get riled up for that. Not this.
And like, if that thing is just all right, we're good.
Yeah.
Like if that thing is yeah. just like.
It does become like, you know, because even just talking about this, like my college friends, we have a group chat. There's 8 of us, right? And 6 of them have kids. And the chat wow. has switched from like work and like dating to like a lot of kid stuff, which I love them all. Like yeah. I love their kids. It's great. But it's just a thing that I'm like, oh, man, this is a different chat than it was 5 years ago.
And it's like pictures of kids.
Pictures of kids, birthing stories. We're, you know, what do we do? We're at Chuck E. Cheese this week. Literally, Chuck E. Cheese last weekend. I was like, are those still fucking exist?
That's crazy.
Yeah. And it's like, yeah, because work matters, but it doesn't really matter. Like when it becomes like, I'm doing this so that I have money to raise this love of my life. Yeah. Like that's what it is. It's that transition.
I asked Michelle Wolf about it because she had a kid and yeah. I feel, you know, and I've asked Rosebud, I've asked all the female yeah. comedians.
Because that's the other thing. It's very,
it's different.
Know.
We
it's
have
different.
A baby.
Yes.
Comedy is our baby.
Yes.
Like they don't
yes.
have a baby. Like they have fucking a job that they hate. That
yes.
they, so it's like, of course, have a kid.
Yeah.
I do have the love of my life, which is comedy.
Yes.
So
yes.
I've talked to them and, you know, like Michelle Wolf was like, it's just two different lives. I love both, but
got
it's just
it.
So different.
Got it. That's so helpful to hear.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think about like Ali Wong. I think about Rosebud. I think about like Rachel. Like there's not a ton of like women within.
Well, they leave.
They leave. Yeah.
But I'm like, maybe I want to fucking leave. Maybe that would be sick to have a kid and leave.
Yeah. Just,
you know,
be done.
Yeah.
Just.
I mean, that's what Tig Notaro did, right? She had twins and was just like, see, I'll be in a movie occasionally.
Yeah, what a
which is
fucking
sick.
Life.
Yeah.
We were just talking about that.
What?
Just like movie.
It's so
like,
hard.
Enough of
stand-up
this.
Stand-up is so hard.
It's so hard. I had a whole therapy session about this morning.
Really?
Yeah. Just, it's so hard. And I knew it would be hard.
I just thought to an that actor it would and get. He was like, all comedians talk about is how hard stand up is. And he was saying it as in like a let's make fun of comedians. And I was like, buddy, it's so weird to have every other art form. You go, here it is, take it or leave it. Comedy is, do you like this? Do you like this? Do you like this?
From day one, when you're bad at it.
Yes. Yeah.
Hey, I'm trying totally. This out for the first time. Can I fail in front of you for a decade?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Totally. And it's immediate gratification. They have to literally laugh. It's like if every song I wrote had to make somebody cry. That's
yes.
So too much pressure.
It's
so much pressure.
So much pressure. And it doesn't, like, I just thought it would be easier at this point. Like, it doesn't, it's not, I don't think it's ever going to be easy. But I'm yeah. like, is this going to get easier? Like,
I know.
Does this get like, is there any relief?
I think it's waves. I think there are
yeah,
waves
totally,
where it's easy.
Totally, totally, totally.
Yeah, I think everything
like,
is
I think
like
I
that.
Was just in a dip and I'm coming out of it now, which is great. But it was like a long dip. And I'm like, yeah, you've had a rough couple of years. Like, it's okay.
Yeah.
Like,
you just got top timeout. Timeout. What was that?
Timeout comic to watch.
That's good, right?
I needed that so bad.
What is that? What does that mean?
I mean, what does any of it mean? It was they picked folks in New York, LA, and Chicago, and it's just like one of the lists. One of the, you know.
That's great.
A comic to watch. But
hell
it was
yeah.
cool. The way that the article was formatted, it was like that title was like up and coming comics to watch in the USA, number one, Alex Cuban.
Oh, cool.
So it just like, it even though like, it wasn't like ranked or anything, yeah. it was just like, oh, that's...
That's sick.
Because sometimes you just need yeah. it for family.
Yeah.
I like, yeah. you know, when you're like, just, I promise you, I'm working so hard.
Yeah.
Or like my manager, I'm like, I promise you, I'm doing the stuff.
Yeah.
Like, that's I'm so doing good. The thing.
I know. It's so nice. And it just makes a huge difference that it, the number three just didn't happen to be next to your head.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's just, yeah. It just, it just happened to be that. So it was just like a nice little like.
Where, do they see you at the Cellar or is it like.
They just emailed me.
Oh,
and they were like, you were selected. I was like, cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Was there a photo thing?
Yeah, and then we did a photo shoot.
Yeah,
which I love. Yeah, they're all like
80s
like yearbook, like school photo.
Yeah.
Which I loved.
So good.
Thank you.
With the lipstick.
The lipstick, a pink lip. Right before we shot, she was like, do you want this? And I was like, give it to me now.
It's so good.
I love. Do you like doing photo shoots and like, do you like?
I wish I did.
They're so fun. No, they're so fun.
I don't like doing like body photo shoots, but if it's like that,
yeah,
I love that.
Where yeah, just fuck no, around. we fucked around for a while too. It was so great.
Where was it?
Just at some photo studio in Brooklyn.
That's awesome. And yeah. you were all there together.
No, it was just like boom, 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 one after another.
Who did it? Who shot it? Not Mindy.
Not Mindy. Oh man, what's his name? He was phenomenal.
It's like free headshots. It's great.
Free headshots. Yeah. I just, yeah, updated my website with it.
I gotta
let's
get
go.
My Cellar headshot is just me and Carhartt like sitting there.
Yeah. Mine is from Chicago.
Yeah.
My hair is this short.
Yeah.
I'm
yeah.
like, that's not you anymore,
I
girl.
I know, but I'm too afraid to be like, can we
make can you fix this? Yeah. Like, oh, my website hasn't worked on there. And I'm like, it's the .com. It's
Yeah. Totally.
And I'm like, sorry.
No, we'll never say it. We'll never say it. It's crazy. Yeah, I don't know if it gets easier. I think it just gets, I think everybody's shit sucks.
It's, you know
I think
what it
everybody's
is?
Everybody's life sucks.
Yes.
Until they find moments where it doesn't.
Yes. And it feels like where I feel like I'm regressing, it's like that could also mean that you're leveling up and you're encountering bigger rooms, bigger situations, higher stakes things where you now have to readjust to being like at the bottom of the pole again.
Well,
you know,
yeah, the that's how I always feel. Is like my mom is really good at that. Anytime I'm like I'm fucking low, she's yeah. like, well, that means you're hitting a new
yeah.
thing, which has always helped me so much. So anytime I'm like, you know, like recently I had this weird thing where I was like, I don't want to see anybody. I just want to be in my house. I just want to be playing puzzles. I'd want to be left alone. And I was like, what is this? And I was like, I have to think about this as like, you know, It's regenerative. It's not degenerative.
Winter. Like,
yes,
that's why I
totally.
Love winter is
yeah.
like
yeah.
shed some skin, hibernate, like follow
know,
the seasons, like
the
just go,
winters.
Like just chill and
yeah.
rejuvenate and then pop.
I know. And then in the winter, I'm like, well, what happens when the sun comes out? I'll have to be this day. And then the sun comes out and I'm like, hello.
Yeah. No, it's crack.
Yeah.
It's absolute crack.
It's crazy.
But it is that. I remember I lived in Spain for a couple years and my first year was there like studying abroad. And I remember the second semester feeling like I was getting worse at Spanish. I was like, how am I not able to communicate?
Oh,
like why can't I like why are these like people who just got here a month ago like having an easier time or more fun or
yeah.
like and one of the professors was like, you're not getting worse, you're not asking donde está la biblioteca
anymore.
You're trying to like talk about philosophy in Spanish now. So like it's hard.
That's a really good analogy.
That was like that's
totally.
Been like the thing I'm like hanging on to is like you're not falling, you're not sliding back, you're just
right.
like you're growing.
I'm unwilling
and it's...
to say the word hinge on stage anymore.
Yes.
You know,
yes,
like, I'm not going to say
yes.
Sorry if this is a TED talk or here's a I went on a hinge date or I did drugs last night. I'm not willing to do that, which means now I've like have to open up this new channel.
Dude, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Which is cool, but it also is like, why do I feel like I'm all of a sudden a baby?
It's
like,
hard. It just sucks.
It's totally like a new language.
I think about there's like a some crustacean like sea creature has to when it outgrows its shell, it has to like leave it to find a new one, but to leave the small shell leaves it vulnerable to like attack.
Oh,
so
hey, what are those called?
I don't even know what they're called. It's kind of like any shell.
No, but
not
we,
like a hermit crab.
Hermit crab.
Yeah, yeah.
Hermit crab, yeah.
It like has to be vulnerable to grow. It can't get into a bigger shell, to grow into a bigger shell without having a period of vulnerability.
Yeah.
Where it's sensitive to like attack or death.
To leave its
That's what it is. It's like, yeah, you feel like you're like dying. You're like, is this death?
It's
like,
so weird. Dude, Louis has been so helpful in that. Like I was like on stage the other day and I was trying to get this point across where I was like, when you grow up poor, you hear adults have sex. Like that's what happens.
Yeah.
And like it just that's is so good. A thing. Yeah. And I was like, you hear adults have sex, which then fucks you up and creates a dynamic where you view your parents sexually. And I just was like, Louis, do not watch this. I'm working some weird shit out. And then he watched and he was like, dude, just keep doing that because that matters. And I was like that.
Yes.
I just have to
Is that the story that you were talking about? You're like.
No, that story is about just the entire thing that happened at my dad's funeral. That's just like so. It sounds like a fever dream right now. So it's me trying to like make it
work. Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you do? Is it a dark thing? Or just
it's
like
so
it's just
fucking
wacky.
Dark, dude. It's I think it's even darker than the fuck wanting to fuck my dad shit. It's like
so. How do you work through that? Because I'm trying to do that with my cancer and rape stuff.
I asked for help.
Yeah. Okay. That was literally what my therapist said today. She was like, "Who can you ask for help?" So I go, "I'm doing a podcast today with someone." And and I'm gonna pick her brain about how this process is done.
I literally will go. Like I was meeting with the guy who's going to produce my special, Eric, and I was like, I don't know if I can do it. And then he was like, just run it. So I ran it and I bombed so hard. And then I was like, let's try it again at the VU. And he was like, oh, really? And then, you know, I tried it again. And then the next day I was like, I could either give up on this. And then I kind of kept talking to people about it. And then I talked to my friend John and he was like, oh, I'll just come to all your shows. And then he just came to every show and we kept like punching it up. And he was like, Okay. Remember this worked, this didn't work. And I've been talking to Peter Ravello and being like, what is this? And then writing down while I'm talking to people about it.
Yeah.
But with things like that where I'm in it, like I'm like, this is my life, dude. My dad died. This funeral was crazy.
Yeah.
I need other people to be like, that's funny. That's fucked up.
You're can't see the forest through the trees thing.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. That's actually. And you'll try it out at the Cellar? You'll.
Yeah. It's scary, but yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I also have this thing where my OCD will trump all. So like so I'll be like, don't do that because you're going to bomb and that's not good. And then my OCD will be like, I didn't know you were such a fat pussy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, I'm not a pussy. I just really can't bomb at the Cellar. I want SD to still love me. And it's like, okay, well, I thought you were like strong.
No, I thought you were a good person who's good.
And then I'll be like, fuck it. And I'll do it.
Yeah.
Even if I've talked myself out of it. And then. So now it's become, but that's the thing that does keep me like not dead.
That's
the pushing.
Yeah. No, that's where I'm at right now.
Yes.
Where I'm like, you're dead because you're doing the same shit over and over and you're not.
So you don't talk about the cancer.
I tried. I was told recently that it stuns the audience and that the audience, I'm like digging myself a hole by talking about it.
Sure. But that doesn't mean.
But that. And then I'm like, so I don't talk about it? Like,
you talk about you say I survived cancer three times.
Three times.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then you think that, don't they cheer then?
They cheer.
Yeah.
And then I keep talking about that. And then I have some like health insurance bits and I have like talk about I say the word radiation and I think that scares people.
When that happens with people, I always am like, I just have to acknowledge it. I just have to be like,
you just go like,
isn't it interesting how you guys have not undergone radiation and I have, and you're the ones,
and you're
that
the
are
ones being
like
a little
cancer
bitches.
Patients. Yeah.
That's actually a great. Yeah.
Like I always say, my tick on stage is I'll say something and it'll shock them and they'll get weird and I'll go, my life, not yours. My life, not yours.
Yeah.
Because I see them getting weird and I'm like, you didn't have to live it. Fuckers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, there's one line that I do. It's doctors told me I had thyroid cancer. It's the best cancer. They kept saying it was the best cancer, but like I thought the best cancer was when someone else had it. And people
That's
will like
so funny.
People will like shut down and be like, no. And it's like, I had it three times, if you remember. Like that, like, and I think I'm still, this is part of the growth of like being like, it does, it's okay. It's okay to bomb.
Yeah.
It's okay to like shock an audience. I think I still have this fear of like, But I want to do good. Like, I have this fear of, like, I want to do good. What I don't want to fail. I don't want to bomb. And I don't want to, like, offend people or, like, scare them. And that's so prohibitive for creativity.
The scaring them thing is where I get hung up, too. Where I get off stage and I go, did I just, like, punish an audience for, like, did I just, like, impose my bad time on them?
Yeah.
But my bad time is, like, dark trauma, childhood shit, like weird hick shit.
Yeah.
And yours is cancer. And those are opposites. Like, you could probably see how mine is funny. And I'm like, cancer would be a great thing to impose. You know what I mean? But you're like, it's too hard on them. But it's like, cancer is one of those things where it's like, you have it, you talk about it. It's crazy that they would get weird. Like, I'm talking about fucking my stepbrother and thinking I'm scaring them. You know, like, that's with the cancer. Also, if you say when somebody else has it and they get weird, the double down thing that you have, like the capacity to be like at the boxing retreat when you were like,
what?
Yeah, when you were like, you weren't attacked when you were five. Yeah. If you double down and you're like, not you guys, but you know, somebody else, you know, like if you double down on the like.
Double down on the like severe, like the, that severe line, whatever it is.
Yeah.
That's such a good call.
The doubling down that's everything. The whole night last night, my friend John was just like, stop apologizing for what you're saying. Like, stop doing that.
The hesitation is what kills me.
And the teeing up, the being like, I just am going to say this.
I'm going to say something that's going to scare you guys. Yeah. Just fucking say it.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's funny. It's like with boxing. Like, you can't, you either throw the punch or you don't. You can't, like, because then you tense
it's
up.
It's the same
and it's
thing.
Like,
it's so similar.
You can't, yeah.
That's all I think about with boxing. I'm like, this is so much like stand-up. It's crazy.
It's crazy.
Where the second I'm like, which hand? I'm like, whoa.
It's
crazy. But you also, what I do sometimes is I imagine that there's one person in the audience.
That's loving it.
That had an experience like it.
Oh, yeah.
And it's for them. Sometimes I'll do that. I'll be like, there's one person out there that wants to fuck their dad.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I'm talking to them.
Yeah.
And that helps.
Are you talking about fucking your dad like when he was in his prime?
Yeah.
Or
prime.
I see old photos of my dad and I'm like.
Oh, yeah. Is your dad alive?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. My dad's dead, so it's way easier.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's the idea of he was fucking like the hottest women ever. And I was just like, I want to be one of his girlfriends. They seem like they're having a good time with my dad. You know, because all the time goes to these women. And I'm like, I want time with dad. I'll have sex
with
him.
Yeah, it's not about fucking your dad. Yeah. It's about your kid brain making a logical or teenage, whatever, adult.
Yeah. Now. Yesterday.
Right this moment. Right this moment. But it is. It's the hesitation. And I think also...
I like that.
Oh, sorry. We kissed Converse nice. There.
You have Converse?
Yeah.
Oh.
Some fresh Connies.
I have to tell you something that probably people saw that I didn't acknowledge. When you described the tube stuff, I fully almost fainted. Did you see it?
No.
I mean, we could play it back.
I want to play back.
Oh, my God.
Did you go?
White?
Like, do you have vasovagal response?
Yeah.
I have that. I fainted right before my colonoscopy.
I mean.
It sucks.
And I just was like, just don't faint. I mean, I'm so wet.
That's so wild.
Yeah.
Is that from, I don't want to say it, but is it from talking about?
It was the needles. I think it was this.
The needles. Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. But the thing about vasovagal is like on a logical level, I'm like, I see what you're talking about. I know about this. Yeah. I've watched
it's
videos,
not happening right now.
But you don't choose it. And all of a sudden you're just like, well, and I was like, all right.
You just start to power down.
Oh, my God. I did. I almost fainted here. And I was like, just don't pass out.
Oh, my God.
That was crazy.
I'm glad you acknowledged that.
Yeah.
I'm glad you didn't pass out. That would have been.
I can't believe you didn't say. I was like, I wonder if she sees my face is completely white and I'm about to pass out.
Well, I think the lighting in here is not. The lighting here is pretty perfect.
God, but I'm really glad that's not happening. So that's a big relief. That's
congrats.
Like,
that's a big one.
Thank you so much to not feel like I'm fainting anymore.
Yeah.
You have the vasovagal thing?
I do.
It's so awful.
It sucks. It's really the first time. Well, yeah, with blood drawing, which sucks because I get blood drawn.
Oh my God, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
So you just go and have the horrible faint attack?
I just have to tell them, like,
lay down.
I do the, like, I, like, sit in the chair and I'm like, sometimes it takes a while. Like, I make sure I'm super hydrated every time. That's
a
big
thing.
Oh,
my God.
But for this colonoscopy, you can't drink water.
No.
And you can't, yeah.
No.
It was... so no. bad. I thought, have you ever done have you ever done nitrous balloons?
Poppers?
Like after a concert, after like a fish show, you know? Like it's like they inflate. It's like the big tall like helium balloon where
they
fill up.
I've only done poppers, which I think is similar.
It's probably similar.
Where you're like, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah.
That is, it's the same sensation. The fainting that happened was like the same sensation of like passing out from like a nitrous balloon. It was like I heard like traffic in my head.
Oh, yeah.
And I couldn't figure out where I was.
It's so awful.
And the anesthesiologist was like, hey, like he was looking at me. He goes, your lips just turned blue. Are you okay?
How dare you? How dare you?
I was like, good sir. I tried to play it cool too.
Your lips just turned blue. I will hit the deck so fast.
So hard. I was sitting. Well, because they put the.
Yes, yes, yes,
yes.
I don't want to say it,
but holy mother.
Anytime I even see that thing,
just.
Listen.
I don't know why we're still talking about it.
When they were both like this.
Did you have the rest?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Of course, I do this the whole time.
What is that?
It's just protection from those that are against us. It is so brutal, dude. Oh, when they pull out that fucking rubber thing, God, I'm like,
and
you
tape
better.
It?
Oh my God. And the, okay, I can't even stand the heart pressure thing, blood pressure thing.
That one when you can.
When they're pumping it, I'm like, that's enough.
Both of us just. Yeah, yeah. But I did.
You just did the most accurate fainting person thing when they pop up. When they did that.
Yeah, you just like, it's truly just such a power down. Like, you're just
it's
like.
It's so fucked up. Yeah.
It's so crazy. And my then dad I came so to and I tried to play it cool. I was like, oh, sorry about that. I don't know what happened. It's like, what do you apologize for?
It's
like,
crazy.
You just had a physical.
The best one I had was tattoo. It was
this. Oh, right on the.
Yeah. So he got to that spot and I was like, and I was like, John, I think I'm fainting. And he was like, all right. And he was like, thank you so much for telling me. Cause I guess a lot of people will just faint and then the needle. Yeah.
Oh.
So he's like, thank you for telling me. And then he got a cold washcloth.
Yep.
That's the move.
They immediately brought ice packs. And
they didn't do that ever at the doctor's
to
me.
And my head and they I was seated and they were like because the nurse told me after she was like I could tell when I put the IV in that you were doing well because I was just because
I didn't
just,
know about the ice pack thing. It helps so much.
I don't know what it is.
Why don't the nurses that I've had my entire
every
life
every time
the tattoo artist did that and I was just like this is so much better
bing, 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 bing.
And then and I did faint. I guess I didn't know, but I usually, you know, but I fainted and I opened my eyes and there were just a splay of candy bars. And I was like, where the fuck?
Where
and he was like, you've been fainted.
How long were you out? Like,
I don't know.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
The anesthesiologist was like, do you remember anything that just happened? And I was like, I was talking to you and then I wasn't.
Yeah.
Like, straight.
It's
such a
up.
Weird, like. I'm so interested in like the science behind like what
I know
happens.
It's such a range of people. It's like not ever Sagalo has it really bad. My dad had it. I dated a guy who had it. It's like random. It's genetic.
It? Yeah.
I
my
know
dad
that.
Has it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My dad would have had it bad. You could be like procedure and he'd be like,
oh, yeah. God, that's such hilarious. A weird thing. That's such a weird genetic trait to pass
I know.
On.
No, it's there's a for me, it's like if I'm putting an earring in and it isn't hitting, I'll pass out.
Oh, you have it really bad.
I'll start to.
So it's any, I'm even questioning. I'm like, I don't even want to give you scenarios.
It can also be like fainting goat style. Like it can be like, I remember one time I fainted at like a movie that got too like, it can be like that. Yeah. But it's like.
So like. Like ASMR-y stuff?
You know what I think a big part of it is? I think me and my dad both have resting heart rates of like 40. We have really slow.
Super low.
Yeah.
She was like, you have a low heart rate? I was like, yeah, I like work out, but it seems I work
okay,
out.
Maybe that's related. Because the low heart rate, people always don't fucking tell me I have POTS, you piece of shit. It's not POTS. People always
POTS.
Say I have POTS, which is where I stand up and you faint. I don't have that.
What does that stand for?
I don't know. People go down. People
on the
side of the road. People on the sand, and it's people on the sad side of things. It's
people on the slope.
People on the slope. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But POTS is like supposed to be, people are always like, you have POTS because you have a low heart rate. But I don't stand up and have, what I think, my theory is, you have a low heart rate, you caffeinate all day in order to deal with the low heart rate because you're sleepy all the time, all day. And then they go, I'm going to put this thing in your, and where other people get lightheaded, we're caffeinated with this heart thing and we're just like, you know.
It's fully, or do you, are you good with water?
No.
That's it. Get good.
Get good.
Get good.
I know, I should have brought my water bottle.
You got to bring your water bottle. You have one of the koala ones, right?
I have so many of them.
I love that.
I just, my thing is I have OCD at night about water where I have to drink so much water that all day I'll kind of be like, I have my water ritual later, but that's not an excuse.
What's your water ritual?
I just have OCD where I have to, when I take my Prozac at night, and the question is, why don't you take it in the morning? Good question. I don't know. I have to drink a full thing of water with the Prozac or else I'll choke on my pills and die.
And then do you pee all night?
All night. All night.
Can we try something new tomorrow?
I know.
Can we try? What time do you wake up?
Noon.
Can you, and then you go to bed at what, like 2?
4. 3.
That's insane. Do you like that? Does that work
for
you?
No, but the spots are so late and then I'm up.
I know. I know.
That's what I'm just, listen, I get home and I'm like, I'm going to pass out and I get my dog just.
Well, you close your eyes and then it's just like.
Yeah.
Such adrenaline. It's an adrenaline spike.
Yeah.
Your body just like.
And I'm holding on a little bit to the night before. Like I'm a little bit like, God, this day passed so fast because I woke up so late. I have like limited time. And I just really value the like in bed, watching TV, throwing the ball for my dog, playing with her. I really like that
That's
time.
That's a good time for you. Okay. And
so if it gets early, if I get home early, then I'll.
Does taking Prozac that late, like, does that contribute?
I don't know why I have to take the pills at night. I think what happens is, like today, it'll be like, well, I didn't take them all day, so now that I have to take them at night. So,
how many do you take?
3 pills, so 30 milligrams.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anti D.
For me, it's OCD.
Oh, okay.
It's ironically, OCD.
OCD. What is it? What do you notice? How long have you been on it?
Years. I mean, I've tried everything, but Prozac is the one that. It just helps, like, all of the OCD is still there. You're just able to be, like...
function on top of it.
Well, you're able to be, like, that's OCD, that's not.
What, how does it manifest for you?
Well, when I was younger, it manifested as like, I thought other people would contaminate me. Like, I thought other people would make me act like them. If I didn't want to act like them, I couldn't touch anything around them or anything they had touched.
This is why you throw the shit yoga pants away.
It's your own way. Can't be poop girl. Can't be poop girl.
I will happily be poop girl.
Yeah. And then now it manifests as like lots of like if you don't watch the person who goes up after you, you're going to have a bad day. If you don't get the person you're dating to say this, they hate you. If you don't have sex once a week with your partner, they're not attracted to you. It's like manifest. Yeah. So I have to constantly be like, that's OCD. That's not. That's OCD. That's not. But it's a lot
exhausting.
It is exhausting. That's but the Prozac really helps.
Okay.
And sometimes there's a lot of like people with OCD will resonate with this. There's a lot of like, fuck you. Like there's a lot of that. Like I'll be at my door and I'll be like, check, 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 check. Stop it. And then you have to, there's a lot of yelling at yourself to stop.
Cause you can see it, but it's just like.
You see it and then I get halfway down the stairs. And I'm like, but what if the door does open and Coyote gets out and then something happens? And you're like, I'll just run upstairs. How far is the Uber? 1 minute away? That gives me enough time to run up. Check, 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 check. And then I'm late for everything.
Yeah. I don't think I'm not going to say I have OCD, but I know that I will leave my apartment. I will. Yeah. The oven.
Yeah.
The oven, the curling iron.
Can I just say something? Fuck ovens, dude. Every other thing turns off. Microwave turns off. Toaster oven turns off. Why does the oven?
The fucking knobs.
Just have it on a fucking timer just like a toaster oven. What are we doing?
Click back. Yep.
Yes. Yep. It's crazy. Yep. Have it click back. Bing. Mm-hmm. Done.
Every time.
God, it's annoying.
I will be at the train.
Yeah.
And go back
home. Oh,
Walk but back.
See, I would be fine. For me, it used to be like if things would burn, it'd be fine. But if my mom's in the house or my dog's in the house or somebody I love is in the house, it's a problem.
It's a problem. Yeah, I can't burn a whole goddamn building down.
I know.
I did in Spain when I was like came home drunk one night and made rice and passed out and it burned on the stove. And it was the worst. I think that's where a lot of this stems from. It was just the worst feeling on the planet. Just like, it didn't like burn. I mean, the rice and the thing burned and then the whole apartment was like
smoky.
Yeah. And my roommate woke up and like was so furious, understandably so furious at me. And that was one of those like low points of like, oh God, you can't be drinking like that, girl.
Yeah. Well, I put rice on the other day because I didn't know how to make rice. Or this was a couple months ago. And the guy that I see was sleeping.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm going to walk Coyote, come back, rice will be done. You can't leave rice on the stove. I didn't know that.
Oh.
So full of smoke.
Full of smoke.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's exactly it. It's just and you're just like, yeah. Like, did you get the...
I got the like, the only thing I get is like, I don't give, if Coyote's with me, I don't care. You know what I mean?
There's a person.
He's fine.
He'll figure it out.
But yeah, he was mad.
Yeah.
But yeah, for me, when I lived with Mike and Ethan, I was so worried that they would die because of my mistake. Like if it's other people, it's fine. But like, there's nothing feels better than when me and Coyote leave for the weekend because I'm like, I don't give a OCD, do your worst.
Yeah.
Because we're fucking out of here.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a life.
Yeah.
Was that, you've had it your whole life?
I got it when I was like, I remember when I first got it, my dad was like, don't let the cats in your room, they'll piss on the floor. And I went over and I closed the door and I was like, it's not closed. And I got stuck and I was like, what is it? What is going on?
Yeah.
And then it started being like, if you're friends with this person, you'll become a bad person. If you are, you know, so then I was like dropping friends and having to.
How old were you?
The first time I probably was around like 7. I remember the intrusive, like I went downstairs one time and I was like, oh, there's a knife there. And I remember being like, I could kill myself. And then I fainted. So I at like 7, I started being like, oh shit, I have control over things. That is not good. I am not to be trusted.
That's a wild.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah.
To be that young.
Yeah.
To be thinking that at that age.
Yeah, I don't know if it's brain too big or if it's bad parenting or what it is. But I mean, my sister didn't have it. My sister had very like, she was just like,
interesting.
Let's go fast and hard at everything. Whereas I was just like, if I do this, then that one that, I mean, I catastrophize so, my mom like dies laughing. Where were we just now? We were at, I forget what we were doing. And I was like, if this happens, then this happens. And she was like, Jordan, it's crazy that you haven't grown out of this.
Yeah.
You're so... just freaked out about everything. But yeah, I was definitely, I'm just born scared. Like going down, like if I'm on like any sports, I'm like, the ball's going to hit me and hurt me. If I ski, man. I'm like, I'm going to twist my ankle.
How do you box then?
I don't, I'm wearing, but if I'm sparring, I'm worried. Well, the thing about boxing is when somebody hits me in the face, my rage overrides it.
Yeah.
It's the same with motorcycling. It's like.
Yeah, because you do.
Yeah.
You do hard stuff.
But when I'm motorcycling the whole time, I'm like, ah, what if that? What if that?
What if that? Oh, man.
But once I get over it, then I'm like so free. But at first, I'm really.
That takes up so much space.
It does. I mean, my poor niece the other day was like playing near the stairwell and I kept being like, please don't, please don't. Please. And I was like, Jordan, because I am picturing all these horrible things all the time.
What's behind that? Do you know, like, what is OCD? Like. Does it get created from a thing or is it
that nobody knows?
Nobody knows.
It's some people say it's genetic. Some people say it can manifest from trauma. I think OCD is like you're creating, you become way too privy of the fact that everything is chaos. Like I tripped acid and I was like, dude, we're going to figure out OCD in this acid trip.
Yeah.
And at the end of the trip, I was like, oh, you think that if you're in control, you are not to be trusted, therefore you will make things go bad. You'll act like bad people, you'll hurt people, you'll hurt yourself, you'll be dangerous, you'll be a monster. And in reality, your genetics, everything around you that's going on is really predicting everything and you're kind of completely let go of the reins. That's why I'm really into no free will stuff because I'm like, I think I'm making these decisions, but it's so much just being bumpered around.
Yeah.
And that helped me with my OCD so much that I was like, this is really out of your hands. You have no choice.
That wasn't your first acid? Was that your first acid trip?
That was my biggest. No, I had done it a bunch of times and had a great time. And then that time I was like,
it was like the internal dive.
It was, I was like, everybody get away from me. I need 8 hours.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Where did you – Do it.
I was at my mom's house.
Okay.
Luckily, one time she was like approaching the room and I was like, if she comes in here. And at the last second, my best friend was like, guys, do not fucking go in there. And I was like, you know what I mean? When you're like Schrodinger's cat, I was like, I'm pretty sure I have no matter to my body right now. If she walks in, she's going to see a pile of oil.
It's truly the worst having to interact with anyone.
Yeah.
I don't understand how people, like, you. I have to have such a isolated, like.
Yeah. Maybe do you do it? Do you trip?
Mushrooms.
But hard trip or soft or micro?
Like hard.
Wow. Yeah. How often?
Quarterly. Like I like to do it like.
And you'll do woods alone.
Woods alone or home alone, and then occasionally with like a one trusted, you know, friend.
Have you had bad time?
I haven't.
Wow.
Knock on wood. Because I go incrementally. Like I'll do. Like I never start. I also am super aware of like if I'm not in the headspace to do it. Like I'll plan a day, and then like this happened recently where I was like, all right, do it on this day, and I just was in such a bad headspace.
Yeah.
I was like, this isn't the day for this.
Yeah.
So I'm just very aware, and then like the week leading up to it, I'll just like think about like what do I wanna.
Wow. What mushrooms are? In my opinion, I think mushrooms are more forgiving than acid.
Yeah.
Mushrooms are friends.
I've done just like party acid.
Yeah.
Concert acid. I haven't done like a full acid trip.
Yeah.
But mushrooms, yeah. And I just love it. I think everyone should.
I love mushrooms. I love microdosing.
Yeah.
The acid, I think people react differently. But for me, microdosing acid might be good. But acid was just like, it was just like, instead of, it was like everything that, the reality that I had been like pushing away and compartmentalizing, it just folded into the foreground in a way that I was like, oh, I didn't even realize the colors of this were still this vivid.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, and then it's just right there and I'm like, ah, shit. I really thought.
It does. It just puts everything.
Yeah.
It's just, you didn't want to think about that?
Yeah.
How about I put it right in
front of your nose? Does mushrooms do that for you?
Mushrooms will just show me answers to things.
Yeah.
Like I remember last year doing them, and like the big takeaway was like rest. And the whole trip was about like I was like not feeling great physically.
Yeah.
And I was like lying on my floor just like stretching, and I just kept like just the thought of like the answer to you becoming the next highest version of yourself is through rest.
Yeah.
And then I kept wanting to get up to like write that down, and the like higher voice like kind of like shoving me back to the ground to be like, right now.
Yeah.
Right now.
And what I mean by rest is not take away some big meaning.
Stop like, trying to alchemize everything that comes into your little brain.
Yeah.
Just, and I remember feeling the muscles behind my eyes relax for like the first time in a long time. I hadn't been sleeping well, and just melting into the floor.
Wow.
And kept wanting to get up to write down what my big discoveries.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the mushrooms or whatever higher being like, it starts right now.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So that, like, that's the kind
of
stuff.
Not after you profit off of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't
stop
get up so you can.
Every thought you have.
Yeah.
Stop trying, like, and also you will have better thoughts and more creativity when you fucking let yourself sleep.
Yeah.
Like, when you stop.
Were you not sleeping because of cancer stuff?
I think sleep and rest, I just have been like a, like I need to fill every hour of the day with like a thing to do. I have to be productive, which totally cancels itself out because there's no, and then I don't, and then my brain isn't primed to like be present and pay attention to shit and like be creative.
Yeah.
And I am a morning person, which so having like the late cellar spots, like I'll still want to wake up early. So I just like, I haven't been, literally this whole year has been me being like, stop, like change the entire, this is another system that's crumbling.
Yeah.
Your system for scheduling is not working. Like,
stop
scheduling so much shit all day.
Even so like, what do you do? Do you say like, are you going to be like, I can only work before 11?
No, it's like, that's going to stay. Like the stand up stuff will stay. But like, even like social stuff, I'll be like, I used to be like, all right, I'm going to see a friend every day. You know, I would book like 5.
I know, I do that so much.
And that is like, and I wouldn't count that as like I'm like, well, this is fun. This is recharging. And it's like, yeah, it's recharging in a way, but it's also pulls from you in a certain way.
Totally.
So like, I'm just better about looking at my schedule and being like, one thing a day. Like, do one thing a day.
Totally.
You know? Like, even like this week, you know, us talking yesterday, like yesterday and today were like pretty open. So I was like, all right, I can do like podcasts today. But like, I'm just trying not to fill every second. And then also trying not to like, you know, with comedy or any creative pursuit, you can always be doing something. You can always be writing. You can always be shooting an email out. And it's like, concentrate your focus. Go to a coffee shop for 2 hours.
Sometimes I think that's why I schedule so many play dates, is I'm like, if I'm doing play dates, that's enrichment.
Yeah.
And I don't have to focus on any work or stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's so, And
that as opposed to like sit in your apartment for 8 hours and work all day. And it's like, what'd you get done?
Yeah, totally.
Go somewhere for 2 hours and then go home and fucking read a book. Like,
it's so crazy when you like, I'm getting to a place where I'm like, I was just talking to my friend about this, where I was like, it's getting to a place where now, in order to be okay, I have to actually sacrifice things that I want, which is,
I talked to Sid about this.
That's
I'm
crazy.
Like, there's nothing I want to cut out.
Yes.
There's no, I look at my schedule and I'm like, I don't want.
I was seeing Sid every day. I had to be like, Sid, once a week.
Yeah.
This is
that
crazy.
Was, yeah. You were seeing her every day. I was like, how are you
just
doing?
Just running from demons. Because I was addicted. I was so addicted to going.
I know it is. It is so fun.
And it was like, and I had to cut that out. And now I'm like last night, it was like, Ian was like, you have to do B&E. And I had a spot. I was like, you have three more spots after that spot. I was like, I need to do. And I was like, all right, you can't do one of the spots. Like, enough. Enough of saying yes to, yes, you have to stop. If you agree to these things, you have to not do one thing that you don't want to do sometimes and postpone things. It's like, and
and the scarcity mindset of, if I say no, it's never going to, it's all going to dry up.
Yeah. And then you look back, I'm like, I look back at when I first got into the cellar and I'm like, that mentality I still have after this long, I'm still like, I need to put in every day of the week. And blah, 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 blah. It's like, how long until you're like, you know what? I'll take, like, I took Sunday off recently and I was like, this is unbelievable.
I've been taking
Sunday
off, especially after a week at
really
Friday,
is the
Saturday.
Lord's Day.
It is truly the Lord's
Why
Day.
Why is it so good?
It's because everyone's chill.
Yeah.
Everyone's on Sunday.
Yeah.
Nobody.
When you take Monday off, you feel like you're like skittering around in a world that isn't yours.
Yeah.
Sunday, you're like, we're all watching White Lotus.
We're all.
Yeah. You know, it's crazy. I really, wait, there's, are we way over time? What does that mean? What time we get here?
Three.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Okay, wait. Holy shit. What the fuck? That's crazy.
That's great. Well, we started probably at like 3:15, but still, that's,
okay,
right?
Two,
three or four?
Wait. We started
three.
At three.
That's,
oh my God.
Nutty. Okay, well.
Wow. Vortex.
Wrap it up.
Wow. Okay, two things. If you want to hear, if you want to know the your cancer stuff.
Yeah.
You talking about it on your podcast.
Yeah.
Which is called?
Into the Mud.
Into the mud
podcast. Yeah, yeah.
Which is similar to RIP.
Yeah.
It's similar.
Super similar.
Yeah.
It's a very like, it's not like a comedy podcast.
Yeah.
It's like me and Drew, you should come to it. Me and Drew, my co-host, interview people about areas of their life where they're feeling like stuck or muddy.
Yeah.
So it can be anything. It could be like, I'm creatively stuck. It could be, I'm grieving the death of a parent. It can be, I don't know how to make or I don't know how to cut friends out of my life in my 30s. Like, it's just anything that you're like just struggling with in the moment.
And I wanted to talk to you about the whole being assaulted when you were five thing, but
I guess I'll have to come back.
Wow. That's so
crazy.
We'll have
to do another episode on child rape.
Yeah. So nuts.
Isn't that?
But long story short, you don't know who it is.
Don't know who it is.
You're
got HPV.
Yeah, it wasn't a family member.
Not a family member. And then
the doctors were like, your kid has HPV.
Yeah. The doctors were like, your kid has genital warts and HPV.
Oh.
And my parents were like, what? And then they did, and like my hymen was torn. And then I had to get like, I had to get them like frozen off, like nitrous or whatever the thing is. So sit like at like six, 8 and 14, I think. And then talk about when you were talking before about when your parents have sex, like you overhear your parents having sex. Yeah. Having my parents so involved in the process.
Oh, yeah.
Just so fucked with my, like, not being able to, like, disconnect, like, family from, like, set, like, sex stuff. You know what
yeah.
I mean? Like, it's just, it all gets, like, melded.
Totally.
So it's been a big couple of years of, like, kind of working through all that shit.
How does it manifest?
Oh, my God.
Like, when you're fucking a guy, you're, like, thinking about if your parents.
Yeah, I get, like, tight. Oh! I, like, my whole body will
interesting.
Up, which, not anymore.
Good. And then... And you had sex last night?
I had sex last night.
Well, who? With who?
A friend who I have a long history with. We, like, made out many years ago and then...
Comic?
No.
Okay.
No good. Comic. Good. I think I'm done yeah. that there.
Congrats.
You know?
Really happy for you.
Mm-hmm. Try it out.
Just in the mud.
Water's pretty warm. But it does it, like, man, like, it feels so good now. And I think now, because I'm coming out of this, like, feeling so tight with sex for my whole life. Tight with it, but also like loosey-goosey, promiscuous in college, because I was like, let's just
get fucked up.
Let's get fucked up.
Where I don't have to feel tight.
I don't have to feel
butted
it.
Out. Yeah. Totally.
But never really enjoying it. And then now I'm at the point where I'm like, oh, I really do enjoy this. And now I'm like, let's go.
Oh, yeah, like, yeah, I'm yeah. Like, I need that resurgence.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So then this is a friend.
Long-term, yeah, friend, and then we reconnected. He was seeing someone recently, and then I saw him over the weekend, and he was like, oh, we broke up, and I was like, huh.
Is he a babe?
He's the biggest babe I've wow. ever seen.
And would you date him?
I think we're both, like, in this, like, very casual, like, it was actually so insane. I've never felt so, like, casual and comfortable with someone.
Yeah.
And I think it's because... We went from like, we like made out years ago and then we became friends and we're just like, we know each other just as like in a friend capacity.
Yeah.
And it was the most comfortable, like low stakes hookup wow. I've ever had. It was like amazing. And so I'm like, whatever this is what it is.
Wow. That's nice.
Yeah. What's your situation? Are you at liberty to say?
I've been in an on and off again relationship for 3 years.
Oh, it's the okay.
We're on right now.
Okay.
Therapy.
Got it.
Doing it.
Okay.
Working.
Okay.
Hard.
Lee.
But going
yeah.
good.
Great. Some,
I mean, I'm fucking crazy. I'm a lunatic. He's a lunatic. But it's going good. It's
great.
Been the
it's the but yeah, it's the
it's the same I've, guy, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the where we did the thing where it was like the I can't we can't stay apart, so let's try and
make it work.
Work together.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is going
I dig that.
Yeah.
And it's like
tried nine
is great.
Times to stay apart. Tried
nine
so
times.
Many times to stay apart. But
that's
we just
a lot of times.
Yeah. And it is I'm glad that we're doing one where it's like, let's actually pull in all artillery and see if
yeah.
this can work.
See if it see
as opposed
give it
to
100% of the
yeah.
shot.
Yeah,
yeah, I like that.
Yes, it requires a huge amount of like, care.
Yeah,
that both of us are previous. It's a scary thing to be like, okay, now we have to like, not just pick on each other constantly, because that's both of the. That's
yeah.
what we do is we rip each other apart and it's like constant and
it's
is
funny.
Yeah, it's and he's so good at it and I'm so good at it and that is like where a lot of the love is just like
yeah.
being very candid and funny about humiliating each other and ourselves.
Well, it's
so
like
you have
your
to pivot.
Love language
yes.
too.
It's
both
yes.
of your love language is like
totally
humor to
yeah. So it's hard to for both of us who we are being like, all right, now
yeah.
tender zone,
put that,
please.
Put that
yeah.
just hang it up for a moment.
Yes.
And couples
yeah.
therapy. Couples therapy or individual?
We went once and it was so sick. It was so awesome. Coyote came.
Ugh.
Which helps so much. She came
like
by accident.
How, like, what does couples therapy look like on the first day?
Dude, it was so awesome. It was just like, how do you feel? And me just saying everything that I felt.
Yeah.
And then him just forcing each other to listen to each other. And it was like...
Yeah.
Two kids and a dad, and the dad being like, now, what do you say?
Yeah.
I love you. Like,
yeah.
it was nice, dude.
I love, do you listen to Esther Perel?
No.
Oh.
I should, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where should we begin? She's a Holocaust, or her parents were Holocaust survivors. She's a Holocaust survivor now.
Yeah.
Her parents were Holocaust survivors. She speaks like 8 languages. She's born in Europe and has come over here and is a relationship expert, sex, counselor, all this stuff. And she has a podcast where she talks through couples therapy. Like, it's couples therapy sessions.
You can hear
or
them?
Like, you can like, I don't know if it's.
You can
listen
to
like
people.
You like listen into like what like issues couples are having.
I listen to that every day.
She's also just amazing.
She's not the one who did couples therapy, right? The show?
No, different person.
Okay.
She has so much great relationship advice. Her book Mating in Captivity is fucking incredible because she talks about relationships. Like, a lot of times what happens in relationships is people fuse into like one person,
yeah,
and then desire absolutely leaves because for desire, if you think about the beginning of a relationship, you desire someone when you're not around them constantly, when you're wondering, where are they? Who are they with?
Like, yeah,
you don't know everything about them. And then as you get closer, you have to very actively work on being separate together.
Yeah.
Because you want the trust, and that comes with time, but also desire has to exist in a place of separateness.
It works for me because the guy I'm seeing avoids me at all costs. So. Pretty separate there.
You cracked the code.
And then was there anything else? So you had sex last night. Feel good about it.
I feel so
but got too fucked
it.
Up?
I got a little.
Do you have alcohol issues?
Kind of. Not like, yeah, I don't
Whenever
know.
Whenever a comedian drinks, I'm like, oh, alcoholic.
Yeah. No, I mean, I had like some wine and then we had like 3. Also, not like easy drinks. We did like a martini and then a mezcal cocktail. And then I went to another place and I got a Mai Tai with a little umbrella. That's, we don't need that.
We don't need
that. I could have had a Miller Lite
or water. yeah.
I woke up today just
I feel. Did you wake up at your own house at least?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah, did he wake up at your house?
He did.
Yeah. Wow. That's nice.
Yeah.
Is that your first time having sex in a while?
In a while?
Yeah.
February was the last one.
And
that was.
Not good?
Not good.
Random?
No, it was someone I was like dating for a few months. For like 2 months, maybe.
The guy that bailed kind of? No,
that was a year ago.
What? That was a year ago.
That was last summer.
That's
crazy. That was last April, May. And then, yeah. No, that was last summer.
And you're out of like an
eight year
long relationship. So you're cool being single.
I'm so good being single.
Wow.
I keep waiting for the other shoe to drop. I keep waiting to be like for loneliness to like creep in.
Yeah.
And it's just not.
Wow.
It's
That's awesome. Yeah.
It's really, there's a part of me that's like, you know how there are some couples that like have like separate apartments and like kind of have, I think that might be my.
Have you tried being with women at all?
Not yet. I opened up women in Hinge and then I was so like turned off by Hinge women.
Yeah.
Because it's still Hinge. But all my lesbian friends, as soon as I went through the breakup, were like, are you ready now?
Yeah.
Let's go.
But you've hooked up with women?
No.
Oh.
You have.
I don't like it.
You can't.
Too squishy. I just am so, I have so much respect for the male form.
Yeah.
I love squares.
Yeah.
Love
yeah.
Squares.
I love a hard.
Yeah. I don't care about tits and butt.
I just don't know. I don't know how I would do eating box.
I know.
I don't know. You have or you have not?
I've tried, but I failed.
Yeah.
I went.
Just like,
I knocked on the door and said, I'm coming in.
Let me in.
No,
never mind.
Nobody's home. I'm going home. I couldn't.
Yeah.
But that's what I think about. Like, I could imagine you living with a woman and being happy, but yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe a Jewish man. Like somebody who's intellectual and clean.
Intellectual and clean.
You know what I mean?
I love it.
But imagining you living with like a...
I just really love and maybe it's just because I'm still fresh-ish out of the breakup, but it's so nice living alone.
Yeah, it's so nice.
How long have you lived alone? Are you
a couple of years? It's so nice.
It's incredible.
Yeah, it's the best. You just do
I don't have
you
to
want.
Quietly grind my coffee in the morning. You know, like
I know.
It's like there's no tiptoeing.
I know. I think people in New York do have a – I like the idea of having separate apartments but being together. I like – I mean, there's so many – I mean, I do think that once you get into a couple, you move into an apartment that's bigger, you have separate spaces. Maybe that's helpful. And yeah. In New York, that seems very out of reach. But, like, it is – and also I love when my friends don't live with men. We just get to stay friends. You know what I mean? Like, if you live with your boyfriend, I'm never coming over. But if you live alone, we're hanging out.
All the time. I'm hosting now. Like, yes. I'm hosting people at my place to do fun stuff.
Yeah. It's so nice.
Yeah, it's so good.
I wonder what the alternative is. I mean, do we know people who live together? I guess we do. Yeah. Like, Joe and Sarah live together. But yeah, it's just it does become an insular thing. And then is that like a trade-off that you have to make? Do you ever have to make the trade-off? Does that make you a New York CEO, hard-grinding woman who doesn't have values if you don't do that? You know what
right.
I mean? Like,
right.
Then are you just one of these childless women who regrets everything? You know what I mean?
I regret all of it.
You know? Like, yeah. But then I'm like, I talk to childless women that are my mom's age, and they're like, yeah, I was like your aunt. It was the best thing ever.
That's the thing. That it's just so... It's so – I want a little crystal ball to be like, hey, how am I going to feel about this? And
I think it's just up to you at the time. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And right now, that's where I'm taking it. Like right now, I'm like, I enjoy being single right now.
Yes. Yeah. No more future tripping, which is in our DNA to do.
Yeah.
Well, that's the takeaway. No future tripping.
Don't.
All right. That was awesome. I'm going to have you back.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
For another 2 hours.
For another 2 hours. What are we, Joe Rogan, dude? That's crazy. That's awesome. Do you want to plug anything besides your pod?
Is this coming out? Do you know when?
Monday.
Oh, gorge.
Yes.
I will be in Philadelphia March 30th at Punchline. And then April, I've got Nashville and Cleveland.
Nashville. Hilarities?
Hilarities.
My favorite club.
Zanies. I'm so excited.
My favorite city.
Yeah.
I love Hilarities.
I love Cleveland. I love Ohio. I've been having a real Ohio time.
Ohio's awesome. Some places.
Columbus is great.
Columbus is rules.
Super fun.
But Hilarities, it's the best.
Yeah.
Nick, Sam, they're the best.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so excited.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you're in the area, please come and check out the podcast Into the Mud. And that's it.
Okay. Punchup.live/turnjunction.